views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to triumph over the challenges in your life? Are you ready to create the life you desire? Radio host Sue London overcame illness, abuse, disease, divorce, and near death. As a spiritual life coach, Reiki master, motivational speaker, and author, Sue's goal is to help millions of people cope, heal, and move forward. Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host Sue London. Host Sue London and her weekly guest will bring you tools, techniques, products, and services that will help you get inspired to create the life you desire. Now, here's your host, Sue London.
Stay with us for the next hour and let us inspire you and help you to create that life that you desire. Now, if there's a specific topic you'd like us to cover, or you simply want to connect with me after the show and say hi, connect with me through my personal website, AskSueLondon.com. That address again is AskSueLondon.com. Now, we've had Christmas. Christopher, have you survived the holidays? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Sue?
I am so energized, and I'm cold. I'm not used to living out here in the country in this cold weather, but I'm doing awesome, and I'm so excited to be here and back on regular routine.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you love your new house?
I love my new house so, so much. I was telling you before the show, my husband's ready to kill me because I bet you I'm walking around 30, 40 times a day saying, Ross, I love our new house. Oh my gosh, I love our new house. So Christopher, he'll kill you if he's listening to the show and say, you brought it on again now on her.
Well, that's why I asked for you, so that way you wouldn't get killed.
Yeah, but you know, I'm just so grateful to have, you know, to be in this new chapter in our life. And I really appreciate, as you know, I appreciate the small things. This isn't a small thing. This is a huge thing. But it's just like, you know, we're starting this new chapter in our life and I'm just so excited. And gosh, last week people were calling me after saying, well, you are kind of excited now, aren't you? I didn't realize I was that excited last week. So anyway, so how was the holidays for you? Was Santa good to you?
Well, Santa was very good to Hayden and Adrian and the animals as well.
Well, and
it's not about me. It's about Christmas is, well, of course, Christmas is about being good to everybody, but Christmas is about the kids. And and the kids include the animals and you know,
for
Hayden.
Sure.
Hayden's 2 years and 6 months, and he was so excited. He was shaking.
No,
shaking in a good way. He was overwhelmed. He got a train table. He got this wall track for Hot Wheels. That, you know, they're like little matchbox cars, and the track goes on the wall. And I mean, I could go on and on and on. Let me put it this way. If you came over to our house, Sue, you probably wouldn't be able to move. There's so many toys.
Oh, no.
And Adrian got the video games that he wanted because he's really at that age where he likes, you know, video games and things like that. And Biscuit, Bella, and Sugarloaf. Biscuit and Sugarloaf are our two cats. I think I told you we have a kitten named Sugarloaf. Remember that pet adoption day I told you about not that long ago at one of our car dealer friends? Well, we have a little kitten named Sugarloaf who's very playful. He's still at that shy stage, and we have Biscuit, and they got a couple of cat toys, and they're playing with them, these little mice that they play with, and Bella got some special treats, and she loves those. So everybody was happy this Christmas.
Well, you know, it was different for us this Christmas because this was the first Christmas earlier, as you know, in May, our last baby moved out on her own, and so Ross and I were with our two dogs Christmas morning, and woke up about 8:39 that, you know, it was strange for us because I used to be the one like waking up at 6:30 and waking up everyone in the house to just say, come on, let's open our gifts and everything, you know. And yeah, with our youngest now gone, it was really strange. So I got up and I was texting all the girls, Merry Christmas and Mom and Dad love you and can't wait to hurry up and get over, you know. And yeah, it was really strange. And our youngest, when she came over, she goes, yeah, I got to tell you, it was really weird for me. So it was really different. But, you know, all the kids were home and everybody was here. And it was just an awesome, awesome new beginning. You know, as I was saying, you know, being in our new home and all the kids were here. And oh my gosh, my youngest daughter's boyfriend, well, she's engaged now, called me mom for the first time. I'm not sure how I like that or not. that was new for me. But yeah.
That has nothing to do with age or anything like that. So don't think that way.
Oh, no, not at all. No, not at all. No. I love all my kids. And I class my daughters, boyfriends and fiancés as my kids as well too. But yeah, it was just this one was so shy and was not a hugger, so we kind of cracked him and now he's officially part of the family. But yeah, Ross was kind of laughing that he said all the boys are calling you mom now, so watch out. You know, so yeah, so it was awesome holiday and went so quickly, and we're just around the corner from New Year's Eve.
That's right.
Now what are you doing for New Year's?
Well, I think I'll be working for part of the day. You know what I'd really like to do, but it's just so difficult to get away, is we're not far from New York City. We're about 2.5 hours away if there's no traffic.
Okay.
And it's been about 4 or 5 years since I've gone there. And I didn't even talk to Lena about this yet, but I'd love to just be able to go out there because that's like the place to be on New Year's Eve with Times Square and the big ball dropping that they show on TV. I don't know if they show it in Canada, but they show it all over this country.
Oh, yeah, we see it. Yeah, we started a tradition here. Well, when our grandson was born, that the first Christmas he was – or the first holidays, you know, that he was born in July. And so that first New Year's and every year since, and he'll be here again this year, he's here with us. And, you know, as we've got a new grandbaby coming again in 2 to 3 weeks, so that grandchild will be here. So it's kind of like that's our grandparents' night with our kids, our grandchildren, and popcorn and movies and stuff like that. So that's what we're doing. We're just staying home with the dogs and the grandbabies.
Now, when's the due date of your new grandchild?
Well, he's supposed to be in the third week in February, but because our daughter's been having so many complications, and gosh, she just phoned me like a week ago and said, Mom, I think I'm in labor, and I thought, oh no, here we go again. But yeah, she's having a lot of the contractions and that, so they figure she could go anywhere between the next week and a half to 3 weeks. So,
but now we're in the safe area, though. This is pretty safe now.
Yeah, it's okay for her to have the baby now. Yeah, before
that's
we
great.
Went through, she was having major problems. But I just said to her, you know, don't push until like we get rid of the snow. We've got a real bad snowstorm that hit
exactly.
here last night. So, yeah, it's never a dull moment in the London house here, is it?
Never.
I always have something to talk about.
You could go on for 5 hours at least.
I know. But before we bring our guest on, why don't we give a gift away?
Sure.
Okay. The first caller who calls into the radio station, you're going to call Christopher, and you are going to win a copy of my personal life story, Soar Above It All, Overcoming Adversities in Life. Now, folks, this is my personal story of overcoming and healing Crohn's disease, a life and death pregnancy, overcoming abuse, being given just 30 minutes to live in my life, having a near-death experience, going through divorce and soaring above it all and meeting Mr. Right and having this life that I only dreamed about having years ago. Now, Christopher, do you want to give them the phone number? How are they going to get it? And are you
sure.
mailing them or are they going in?
Well, it depends on where they are. I mean, if they're, you know, not far from the radio station, they can come here and get it. Or if they're, you know, elsewhere in the country and there's really no way for you to get here, of course we'll mail it to you. The phone number to call, 1-800-930-2819. That's 1-800-930-2819. So the first person to call that number will get a copy of Soar Above It All, Sue London's great book.
Well, thank you for that. Listen to you. Okay, so let's get on with the show because this is going to be a fantastic show today. And I thought, folks, because this is a time when all the family's been together and many of your kids are home, we're bringing you the topic about raising good kids tonight. I hear so many people say to me, I never have time for myself. My kids don't appreciate me. My kids never help out around the house. I'm always running my kids around. So for all of you people that have said that to me, this show is for you. So today we're going to be talking to a man. His name is Richard Melnick, and he has wrote a book, Parents Who Don't Do Dishes. He's going to share his personal journey and the tools that he used to raise his kids to be great kids. Now, I have a confession to make. I'm really good at reading books before we bring the guest on the show, but with my packing this and moving into a new house, this box just got discovered a day or two ago. So I have not read it. It is sitting here on my desk. So Richard is going to really educate the both of us. So let's bring Richard on and let him share his story with us. So Richard, welcome to Get Inspired Radio.
Well, thank you so much, Sue. And Christopher, nice to meet you too. Thank you both so much. Excuse me. Thank you both so much for having me on your show today.
Well, I'm really excited because, you know, I think you and I think alike from the emails we were sharing. And can you just – we've got to go to a commercial break in about 2 minutes. So in this 2 minutes, can you just share what happened to you? Like what brought that light bulb on that said, okay, I've got to focus on my kids? Do you want to share that? Can you do that in like 2 minutes, no pressure?
Well, sure, I can do that quickly. I was faced with a sense of urgency. This was about 13 years ago, and I received – a cancer diagnosis, and it was stage 3B colon cancer, and so it wasn't a great situation. And so at that time, I looked into that abyss that anybody's familiar with if they've been in those shoes, and I think it changes your outlook on life. And so I felt a sense of urgency to teach them some life lessons that were maybe, not conventional. My boys were 3 and 5 years old at the time, and I wanted them to, first and foremost, be willing to feel the truth of their being.
Nice.
And to learn to navigate how that felt in a skillful way, in a non-reactive way. Mm-hmm. And then to practice service as well. I wanted them to have a strong work ethic to ensure their survival in case I wasn't around. And that sort of lends itself to the title, Parents Who Don't Do Dishes.
Yeah.
And so I guess that would be sort of the circumstance that gave rise to my parenting style. But I have to say that the book, Parents Who Don't Do Dishes, really isn't about cancer and dealing with that sort of thing at all. It's really a lighthearted look at parenting and what I like to call some aliveness skills.
Good.
Really, first and foremost, it's a forthright self-help book.
Well, great, and that's what we want to cover today. So, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but what I want you to do while we're on the commercial break, go quick, grab a piece of paper and a pen, because we're going to give you lots of tools and techniques that you can start using with your kids. So stay tuned. We're going to take that quick break, and we'll be right back with more with Richard Melnick.
The hit radio show Authenticity Rising with Christine and Sabrina is energizing people everywhere to rise to the occasion of their lives. Do you feel overwhelmed by all the information out there that's designed to improve your life? Do you feel that you're destined to become more? Are you sometimes afraid to fully express who you are? Let Authenticity Rising with Christine and Sabrina help you to step into true empowerment, leading you to greater joy, ease, and abundance. Co-host Christine Upchurch and Sabrina Fritz invite you to join them every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio and rise to the occasion of your life. Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today. Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to shift your life 180 degrees and bring more joy, more love, more money, and more happiness to your life? This can be your reality when you love yourself enough to experience our Essence of Gratitude Diamond Combo. Gratitude is on a mission to create a partnership between the hearts of all human beings. Wouldn't it be wonderful to cultivate this state of being every single day and not only on specific occasions? Give yourself or a loved one this priceless gift, our Diamond Combo that includes all our creations and transforms your life in health, wealth, creativity, and enriched relationships. Awake the spark of joy and happiness during this holiday season and be part of a viral sharing as we spread the essence of gratitude around the world. Visit our shop for our special holiday offer at explorationgratitude.com.
We are back on Get Inspired Radio with Sue London. My guest today is Richard Malnick, and today we are helping you folks raise good kids. Now, before the break, Richard was sharing his story, and as I was listening to him, and I was sharing during the break with Richard, we think a lot alike. Now, when my kids were younger, when I got sick, my youngest one, she was only 9 months old, Richard. And then when I got pregnant, then I was really not in good shape when they were, I guess when I learned that my husband was leaving us, my youngest one was 3 and my oldest was 8. And that's where, like, you know, the parenting skills really came all from me because my ex was no longer around. And I really raised my kids to treat others like they wanted to be treated. And I wanted them to treat people with love and respect always. And that was a huge lesson I was teaching them every day. And I'd say, you know, no matter what age you are, you can always make a positive difference for others. And it can maybe even be as simple as holding a door open for somebody. Now, these are kind of like some things I taught my kids. Give us some examples what you would say to your kids. Give us some examples.
Well, I think it's great that you taught your kids to do for others. And I think the paradox is that, you know, as we do for others, we do for ourselves, just like the golden rule.
Right.
And I think that it's not enough to just treat others with love and respect, but that you have to treat yourself with love and respect as well.
And oh, absolutely.
So what I asked my boys was to feel the truth of their being at any given moment. It might be happiness, it might be sadness, it might be anger, it might be anxiety, but be willing to participate in the truth of who you are and how you feel. Because it's my bias that feeling is your deepest experience of being alive. And
yes.
So in order to do that skillfully, I also ask them to learn to differentiate between thinking and feeling.
Okay.
I ask them to notice the voice in their head that's different than the feelings that they have. Feelings are a full body sensation.
Okay.
And the voice in your head, I told them it's usually referring to something in the past or the future, something they're looking forward to doing or afraid of doing, or maybe it's labeling the current moment good or bad.
Okay.
Or somehow organizing around what you want to see happening next, instead of participating in the true raw feeling of the moment. And so I asked them to develop that skill, differentiate between thinking and feeling, and then go with their feelings and be aware of their feelings in a way that they can manage them skillfully. And so that was the trick, to be able to manage your reactivity. And one of the a great analogy, or a, so yeah, it's, I guess it's an analogy, is a friend of mine. She's a former school counselor, and her name is Jordan. And she says that managing your reactivity is your responsibility, exercising your ability to respond. Mm-hmm. And she says, I don't have to do this. I'm reading from the book now. She says, I don't have to do the same thing over and over. I don't have to close my eyes in fear when the baseball comes. I can learn to respond differently, to keep my eyes open, step aside, and clunk, the ball lands in my mitt. And I think that's an example that a 7-year-old can understand.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, I wanted my boys to have good boundaries, Mm-hmm. And also, I think that the paradox of that is that you can offer more true love and compassion to others.
Yes.
If you have a good sense of who you are, and if you're firm with your own sovereignty,
mm-hmm.
and so I don't know.
And as I'm listening to you, I'm smiling because what I used to say to my girls. Now you had two boys, right?
Mm-hmm. I have two boys.
You have two boys. I started with two girls, and then when I got married again, we're like the Brady Bunch. I have two more girls.
Uh-huh.
And so we have four girls and one grandson so far, and another grandson coming, like I said earlier, in a couple of weeks. But there's many uh-huh. more to come with them. But what I have always said to my kids is, like, instead of reacting, I'd say be the producer, not the actor in the scene. So in other words, don't get yourself into reacting in the scene. Stand back, take a step back, watch mm-hmm. how the scene is unfolding, and
yeah.
then, you know, see what the reason, what's the lesson to learn here, what are they really saying? That's, again, it's kind of the similar things we said to our kids, but in a different way.
Well, no, and I told my boys all of that as well, and that
yeah.
I included a whole mystical component in Parents Who Don't Do Dishes, and I thought it was important for kids to learn to manage their reactivity and
yeah.
have an understanding or a foundation, which in my cosmology it revolves around two things. Number one, that we have a soul that doesn't die when your
right.
body is gone.
Absolutely.
And number two, that form is an illusion. And so the latter was, or the former rather, was asking kids to be willing to be brave and feel anything that comes up. Because if you have a soul that doesn't die, well then, what the heck, I might as well feel some disturbance too. And if
mm-hmm.
form is an illusion, then that blade of grass and that rock and that bird and, of course, that person, they're all made from the same basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be counterintuitive to not be kind to others.
Right.
And so I think that having sort of this foundation may have allowed them to develop a more playful relationship with life and with disturbance.
Now,
especially.
did your like, I know with my kids, my one example, the youngest one, she would hold everything in. Did your kids hold things in? Or did they get them out? Did they talk freely?
Well, they did. They did talk freely for the most part. And I did. I wanted them to learn to not blame others for how they felt.
Right.
Feelings are transient. I asked them to let go of the story about why they were angry or what they were feeling, and then just go to the raw feeling and let it pass. Or if there was a story running in their head about, oh, well, my brother did such and such to me, and I can't believe he said that. And mm-hmm. I would ask the boys to examine how they were a victimizer themselves. I told them that any time you feel like a victim, that it's mm-hmm. it's got to be so that you're a victimizer as well in this relationship or elsewhere.
Right.
Now, it's a little bit simplistic, and you overcame... I haven't read your book, but it sounds like you overcame abuse and other things that
yeah.
perhaps you had no choice with, and you truly were a victim. I mean this in a more general sense.
Oh yeah, and I would say to my kids, don't be a victim, be a victor. And you know, I would honestly say to my kids that, you know, when their dad was abusing me, and I can tell you honestly, and I've talked about this on other shows, I was raised that by my parents that if you get married to somebody, you're with them the rest of your life. And that growing up, that stayed in me. And I thought, well, gosh, I married somebody, so I should stay with them no matter mm-hmm. what they're like. And then here, it was actually my kids that taught me that that wasn't right. And I thought, you know, I should stay with this man for the sake of my kids. And here, you know, when he walked out and then Mr. Right came, my husband Ross, my kids, and again, becoming the victor, right? Or victor for like mm-hmm. that. They were my teachers as well as my students. And they would say, you know, that they had never knew what love was like until their stepdad, my husband Ross, came into their life. And it showed me how I was was a victim as well, and it was a great lesson for them not to be that way. So no, the victor and saying to my kids, don't be a victim, be a victor, is a very common sentence, phrase used in our house.
I think that's great. And I would also tell my boys, instead of being a victim or a victimizer, I would ask them to examine how they might be energizing the situation with egoic behavior of their own.
Okay.
And as opposed to being a victor, be truthful as to what's happening here.
Yes.
And be the healer.
Yes.
I didn't want my boys to think in terms of triumphing over others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, I want to add, because we've got people listening, the greatest thing that my feeling you could do for your kids is to be the example. Walk the talk that you teach. Do you not agree, Richard?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. In fact, that's basically the point of my book, is that you can't expect your kids to be kind and have good boundaries and manage their reactivity if you don't do those same things yourself.
Exactly.
And I wrote the book so that parents can develop those life skills.
Mm-hmm.
And do it in a graceful way. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I know. I wanted to add that, because so many times we travel quite a lot, and I see parents saying to their kids, don't interrupt. And, you know, just sitting back and watching, and then you'll see the parent interrupting everybody in the conversation. So, you know, our kids are such great teachers for us. And if you sit back and listen to your kids sometimes, you can really learn a lot. I guess that's what I want to add in as well. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I... Right, Christopher? Things come out of me. Somebody's listening, right? It's coming through.
That's fine, though.
Welcome to my world, Richard.
Well, for me, the most dreaded five words for my kids are, Dad, you seem a bit defensive.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I hate that. And so, yes, of course, there are mirrors and there are best teachers.
Well, I had to laugh because last week when we were moving into our new house, our youngest daughter was here, and I would really teach my kids, you know, don't get stressed, breathe, and they learned them how to, you know, do meditation and yoga and, you know, lots of de-stressing ways. So we had these movers deliver our furniture. Now, these movers, I would say, were not my friends, or I was not friends with them, as they took 6 chunks out of our brand new walls. And so I was getting a little stressed, and I'm not one to get stressed. I get excited, but not stressed. And my youngest daughter put her arm on my shoulder, and she said, Mom, just do that deep breathing that you taught me. Just breathe, Mom. Just breathe.
Nice.
So you know, sometimes you tell your kids you want them to teach something, but when they come back and say those words that you said to them and you don't want to hear it.
You know you've done a good job as a parent.
Exactly. I'm going to take a commercial break, but I guess, Christopher, do we have a winner for the book?
Yes, we do. It's Tristan Wagger of Ashaway, Rhode Island. Congratulations. And we will be sending him a copy of Soar Above It All. It's a great way to learn about changing your own life while learning about the life of Sue London.
You sound like you're putting a commercial together there, my friend.
Well, that's because I know all about it. And I know almost all about you. Not quite, but almost.
You know me and you know my husband, and there's no secrets between you and I, are there?
Absolutely, sis.
Kristen, congratulations, and I'm hope something that I say in that book will help you along your journey. Now, we got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to talk more with Richard Melnick about his journey with raising his boys and some things that you can do with your kids. So on that note, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Saskia has been helping clients around the world find a North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams, or to schedule your Soul Breakthrough session with Saskia, or call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861. Or visit YourSoulGuidance.com. That's YourSoulGuidance.com to receive the Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 days. Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host and motivational speaker Sue London. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Wednesday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern Time, and express and experience the infinite possibilities waiting in each and every moment as you listen to From the Heart with Elizabeth Cookson. Get ready for a packed hour of laughter, tears, and a soul full of emotions as Elizabeth raises your vibration and shifts your spirit. For more information about Elizabeth and to schedule a session, visit ElizabethCookson.com.
We are back on Get Inspired Radio with Sue London. I have Richard Malnick here with us today, folks, and we are helping you raise good kids. Now, Richard, you love to cook, and I love involving my children and now my grandchildren in the kitchen. For me personally, I find that's a really great time to bond with them, catch up what's new. I just love that quality time. And even now, like, they'll come over and we all are in our kitchen, and that's, you know, where we work together preparing meals. Do you do the same thing with your boys?
Well, certainly during the school year, I do a lot of cooking, and the boys do a fair amount as well. During the summertime, it's kind of a free-for-all.
Okay.
And certainly the kitchen is the hearth or the
yes.
heart of the home. I totally agree with you on that.
Now, do you let your boys cook for you?
Well, I've trained my boys when they were really little. And we started yeah. with having them make eggs just so, exactly the way I happen to like them.
Oh, well, there you go.
And it wasn't hard. And then I had the cooking jobs when I was a kid, and so I had some good teachers. And what I wanted to impart upon my boys was that cooking is a real metaphor for living in the moment and learning to practice immediacy.
Yeah.
And so things are happening. Alchemical reactions are taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're with the food while it's sizzling, and you're present, you'll know exactly when to flip that grilled cheese sandwich, or just what kind of heat it needs to maintain, or when to pull the pie out of the oven at the exact right time.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when they were about 2.5, age 3, the ritual was, okay, you ate the table, well, you take the plastic, you know, they have their little sippy cup and that. They had to, their job was to take it from the table after the meal was over.
Mm-hmm.
And then even at that age, I'd have them dry their dishes, like none of the sharp stuff, none of the glass, nothing heavy. And then as they got older, they had more responsibility added. What do you feel about that? Do you agree that kids should be doing dishes? Because I want all our listeners to hear us say these things.
Well, I wrote an entire book on the topic. It's called Parents Who Don't Do Dishes. It's available.
Good comeback, Richard.
It's available at parentswhodontdodishes.com, Amazon. You can like the page on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I think that what I outline in the book is a grand bargain. whereby parents recognize their children's sovereignty. They recognize that they're independent beings. They don't micromanage their lives. They learn to make suggestions in a conscious way using particular language that respects their sovereignty. And they learn to shut the heck up. And there's a whole chapter about that as well.
Yep.
And so in exchange for practicing this radical personal sovereignty, my bias is that you require service in return. You know, the kids help out in the juggernaut of the joint enterprise. And that means bringing your sippy cup when you're little, and it means other things as you go get older. And so I think that if you praise your kids for helping, and if you train them properly from an early age, if you keep them accountable and just tell them thanks every day, and how does it feel to be so helpful and independent, then they'll get it. They'll feel that it feels good to pitch in.
Yeah.
And they'll do other stuff without you even asking.
It is so true. And I wanted you to add that because you know who you are, who's listening. I have so many people say, oh, I can't ask my kids to do that. I can't ask them to do that. And what Richard's saying, it is so true. A couple days ago, our grandson was over and my daughter was here. And with being in the new neighborhood, already our grandson has adopted all the kids in the neighborhood, and he invited another six-year-old over to our house and invited him to even stay for supper. And so Ryan had said to this other boy, well, you know, we're finished dishes. We have to take our dishes to the counter. And, you know, I wanted to see what the other boy would do. And he right away, he says, yeah, we have to do that in our house too. And we have to even wash the dishes. And, you know, it was really great. And, you know, when your kids go to other places, folks, if your kids do that, it's nice to have other kids come to your home, and you don't mind bringing other kids to your home. Now this boy next door wants to all unpack our garage for us now, Richard.
I think that sounds great. I mean, kids can do video games. They have the native intelligence and the dexterity to run the washing machine.
Exactly. I mean, but you know what? Saying that, my six-year-old grandson taught me how to run our brand new washing machine just 2 weeks ago. Because I didn't know how to do it. Everything's got bells and whistles. And the alarms were going off. He said, Grandma, just hit this button. So there's a good point you're making. And folks,
well, I would encourage – I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No, I'm glad you are, because what you're saying, this is what I say to everybody all the time. So it's nice to have another person saying the same thing but in a different way.
Well, I think you're doing your kids a service by teaching them to pitch in. They'll develop a strong work ethic, and that'll help ensure their survival. And I think, you know, even if they don't feel like doing the dishes, it's a good opportunity for them to learn to manage their discomfort, and they'll build strength and resilience as a result.
It's true. Now, Christopher, I know you're listening.
Yes, I am listening.
You have two boys. Do they do dishes at your house? Nothing like I'm putting you on the spot right now, is there?
Well, Hayden, being that he's 2 years and 6 months, he does not do dishes. He dirties the dishes, but rightfully so.
Yeah.
And Adrian is, he helps here and there, you know, he gets a nice little allowance, so we're working with him.
No, you just,
I don't do dishes though.
Oh, okay, Richard, you can just have Christopher and take over with him, okay, as being the example, right?
Okay. Well,
and it's not that I don't want to do dishes. It's that I have done dishes, and Lena doesn't like the way I do them. She says I scrub like certain things too hard, and I take a long time.
I would wonder what her objection is to you scrubbing too hard. Perhaps she's just a control freak, and she likes them done the way she likes them done, and that's fine.
Well, I'm not going to agree with you that she's a control freak. I want to go home with no bruises tonight.
Fair enough. As to Adrian, your 10-year-old, I think that the wise thing to do would be to assign him tasks that you want done or that your wife wants done, things that he could do that would legitimately help out and free up a little of your time. I mean, he's too little to get a job at the railroad. And so why not provide some service? And I don't think of it as tribute. I don't think of it as chores. I think of it as tribute. My bias is that kids choose their parents. And this is kind of, maybe it's a wacky spiritual idea, but I think that they do. And I think that they owe them a measure of gratitude for hosting them. And so I think it's just, it's all well and good if kids are disabused of any misguided notions of entitlement. And I just think it's to their long-term benefit. And so I don't know what kind of stuff he could be doing. If it's not dishes, if your wife prefers to do them, he could certainly be vacuuming, or there's a million and one things. And it doesn't need to take up his entire day, but 15 minutes here, a half an hour there.
Dumping the garbage,
laundry,
too.
I don't know. Yeah. And here's the other thing, the point that I make in my book, and I think it's important, and that's that you don't want to be nagging your kids to do these things, because I think that if you consider yourself a CEO of the family, you know, you haven't done a good job training them. If you have to tell them every time, oh, it's time to do the dishes, it's time to take the trash out, it's time to have you blah, blah, blah. I think that there's a better way to go about that. And I think that if you offer draconian consequences, say, you know what, from now on, you're taking your dishes to the sink every night without me asking, or there's no hockey this weekend, fill in the blank. And I think that that's how they get the message. And then you've done your job as a CEO, and then things are really humming along smoothly. And then you just, again, keep thanking them for being so helpful.
You know, Richard, adding to that, you know what I used to say to my girls is that, you know, we're a team, and that we did the housework together, and we would make a list, and we would, like, I'd let the kids decide what they wanted to do. And then, like, one would dust, and what they would, you know, we were kind of playing it, planning out the plan of action. And then it was like, okay, now we finished as a team, now we play as a team, and we took turns picking things that we were going to do. And that's all I had to do. It was really an easy way. Then you didn't have the fighting and the nagging and the wearing yourself out and draining your energy and all that.
Well, that's beautiful, and that's really beautiful. And I would also add, you know, maybe it's just that I'm more in touch with my inner slacker. I would also add that, well, if everybody's a team, how come I'm the only one paying the rent? And so I would suggest maybe you could do a few of those tasks that are, you know, less skillful.
Okay.
If that makes if that makes any sense.
Yeah. No, that's good. Good. I'm speechless, and we're out of time. This show went so fast with you, Richard. Folks, I want to for you to learn more about Richard and his books, Parents Who Don't Do Dishes, go to his website, parentswhodontdodishes.com. You can purchase it there, learn more about Richard. And Richard, thanks for being with us here today. I've really appreciated you adding to the things that I've said to our listeners many times. And all you people listening, you heard what Richard said about getting your kids involved. So, on that note, stay tuned. We're going to be back after the short break, and I'm going to then share some tools with you on how to communicate with your kids. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck! Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camino Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The 5 Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. To get your free copy now, that's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camino Island Coffee Roasters.
The hit radio show Authenticity Rising with Christine and Sabrina is energizing people everywhere to rise to the occasion of their lives. Do you feel overwhelmed by all the information out there that's designed to improve your life? Do you feel that you're destined to become more? Are you sometimes afraid to fully express who you are? Let Authenticity Rising with Christine and Sabrina help you to step into true empowerment, leading you to greater joy, ease, and abundance. Co-hosts Christine Upchurch and Sabrina Fritz invite you to join them every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, and rise to the occasion of your life.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
We are back on Get Inspired Radio with Sue London. Today, folks, our guest Richard Melnick and I talk to you about raising good kids. Now, folks, we all want to raise good kids, but speaking from experience, some kids are easier to raise than others. Again, I'm saying from personal experience. In my experience, I can tell you that communication was sometimes a challenge for me with my children. I know that when I was going through divorce, my kids were actually scared to share things with me because they were very fearful of hurting me. And some of you might be in the same situation yourself right now. And I want to point that out to you. Our kids do get fearful of hurting us when we're in that place. So just be aware of that. Because once I learned that my kids had that fear of hurting me, I assured them that they were not going to hurt me. And as a result, they felt more at ease to share things with me. And our communication improved. They opened up more. And things really improved for us as a family. Now, I will honestly tell you that my youngest daughter was one. She held absolutely everything in. Even when she got hurt, instead of yelling, ouch, she would stand there and shake her body in her fists. And I have to also tell you, though, she's a bit strong-willed, just like I am. So she did inherit it, honestly. So one of the great tools that I did with my youngest daughter is I bought her these cards. Now, some of you may know about them. Others, you may not. What they are, they're a deck of cards, and they're not playing cards like you'd play Crazy Eights or whatever, but they're a card that might have a picture on it, or they may have like an affirmation, a positive message on there. And what I would do, we'd make a game of this. This is a ritual that we did every night just before, you know, going to bed, going to sleep. She would draw a card from the deck. She'd shuffle the deck first, and I would say to her, whatever card is meant for you, you will draw it. So that's going to be a special message for you to learn or hear today. And she started doing these cards, I guess, when she was 5 or 6. So again, they're all, the cards are for different ages. So you can check this all out on Amazon.com. But she would draw a card, and then her and I would talk about it. She'd share the message with us, and she would talk about it. And my older daughter would be there. And again, we would do the process with her as well. And it really helped us even more to open the communication and to share what we felt about that saying or what experience we had in that day that went with that. There's always a reason when that card was drawn. So it's a really a real spiritual way of looking at it, but it was also a great tool that really, really helped me. And I did find that, you know, she'd open up more and more, and now she's like 20. She shares everything with me. So that really helped her with that. Now, to learn more about these cards, like I mentioned earlier, go to Amazon.com. There's oracle cards with angels. You can get them with unicorns, little fairy. My daughter had the fairy cards when she was younger. She liked fairies. Animals, just check that out. You'll see them all on Amazon, and there's a real variety, and they're really a great price. I know a lot of people are watching Money Now after the holidays is over. So check that out. Another bedtime ritual that I do with my kids, and I'm even doing this still with the next generation, is that I'd read the bedtime story to the kids, and then as I was tucking them in, I would always say to my kids, what is the best part of your day? So that the kids were ending their day on a positive note. So it wasn't like, you know, oh, that was really bad that happened. It was, no, we'd go back. Well, what was the best part of your day? And do you know, it would surprise me, because often it was the simplest thing that had happened in the day that was the best part of their day. So you'll be amazed, and you'll learn so much about your kids as they share each day what the best part of their day was. It was really a great tool to use, again, for communicating with them. Now, after divorce, when I went through that, my kids were 3 years old and eight. And what I wanted to do was, after I had gone through all that process of the divorce and that, I wanted to start building some really great new happy memories with my kids. So what we did, we each week took a turn picking something new that we were going to try as a family. And as you heard me mention on the show, that we would do this teamwork for everything. We would do the housework. We would lay it out. We would say what we were going to do for chores, who was going to do what. And I wasn't the one deciding. Let me add that in too. The kids, as a team, we would decide, well, I would do this, you would do this, and blah, blah, blah. So what we would do is we'd say, okay, well, we'll work as a team. We'll get all the work done. And because there was an incentive to this, there was no problems getting these jobs done. So after everything was done, then we would sit down and each week take a turn picking what we were going to do and try new as a family. And I have to tell you that on Christmas Day, we were all sitting around, and it started to snow here. And my girls looked outside, and I just knew what they were going to say, because they started smiling, and they started talking about this ski trip that we had taken when they were younger. Now, it wasn't a big trip overnight or anything. It was just simply me taking my girls to a local park that had a hill. And the hill was not big, not big at all. You might be able to sit on it and kind of roll to a few rolls down, and then you were at the bottom already. Well, we would go over there and to this park, and my kids were awesome at downhill skiing. Now, to them, it was a really big hill, keep in mind, right? But I could not, for the life of me, get up that darn hill. I would try and go up, and then my skis would just go back, and I'd cross them, and I'd get all cross, and it was just a nightmare. And so then what would happen, I would be going backwards, and I'd fall, and I'd go face first in the snow. And my kids just thought that was absolutely the best, seeing their mom going backwards, and over, because I'm so strong-willed, I was determined to get it, but I never did get it. And so every time there's a snowfall, my kids always bring that up about us going skiing and mom falling face first in the snow and just having the best time of our life. Now, it didn't cost us anything, and it was a memory that we all just absolutely will cherish forever. Now, you might be listening and thinking, well, what could we do as a family? So let me give you some suggestions. You could take turns cooking a new recipe. I had one lady share with me, she was a single mom, and I'm sharing single mom because many of you may out there be single parents, or maybe because of, you know, the cost after Christmas, you might not have a lot of funds available to you now. You're all starting to save up now for, you know, those visas you're having to pay off for, you know, whatever. One of the things she did, she couldn't afford to take her kids on trips. So what she did, they would plan each week on Friday night, they would have a special country night. So what they would do is they would pick out what country they were going to cook a recipe for. So for example, they say they were going to learn about China. So they would pick a menu item, and they'd make a Chinese dinner. And then they would research the culture in advance. And then as they were eating the meal, they would talk about the culture there and eating the food. And it felt like they had really taken and discovered that part of the world. And each week they would do a different area. And they had to buy groceries, so it wasn't like they were spending anything extra, but they were learning together as a team. So that, I thought that was pretty cool how they were doing that. That was pretty neat. Now, something else you can do is play a new game. Have a movie and popcorn night. Now that Christmas is over, and again, I'm talking about cutting costs. Going to a theater now is pretty expensive. One of the things that you can do that I've just discovered recently is Netflix. Netflix is on TV, your internet, I guess, and the first month is free, and then it's $8 each month after that. And we even still, all
we're sending next, right? We're going to send Netflix a bill for that because you just advertised them. I'm just kidding, Sue.
No, like, I found that is awesome. Like, you can get as many movies as you want. And even though here the kids are grown up, they're still coming back Friday night, and we're still picking and watching these movies. Do you use that, Chris?
Yeah, we have used Netflix. You know what else I like, too, is Dropbox. Not Dropbox. What do they call it? Redbox.
Know about that one.
Well, we have them at grocery stores, and it's a little machine, and you get little DVDs out. I know that's kind of passe now that we can download things, but they're only like a dollar, and you can rent whatever, and then you have to return it the next day.
Well, folks, all of these are ideas that don't cost you money and that you're doing together as a family, as a team. You're taking turns and doing this. Gosh, I could go on and on and on, as you know, Christopher, but we're almost out of time here. I just want to share one more thing, that to learn more for communication, go to my website, AskSueLondon.com, and go on the books tab, because there's a book on there my youngest daughter and I wrote. It's a positive thoughts coloring book, and it's filled with positive affirmations that can help you to get your kids to open up. You know about my life story, Soar Above It All, Overcoming Adversities, and Rocky's Trip to the Hospital is another book to help you with your kids, with their health. All great stuff at AskSueLondon.com. Now, we're out of time. I'm so sorry, Christopher. We've gone over. Oh, no. Join us next week. Michelle Hutchins will be with us, and she's going to be channeling your angels and telling you about your New Year's resolutions. So on behalf of my guest, Richard Malnick, my wonderful, loving, fabulous producer, Christopher DiPaolo, woo-hoo, and all of WBLQ and Transformation Talk Radio, and myself, Sue London, we want to wish you much love and many blessings, and have a happy, healthy, prosperous New Year. I look forward to inspiring you again real soon. Have a fantastic week, everyone.
You've been listening to Get Inspired with Sue London. If you've missed any part of this program or would like to find out more about Sue London and how to get inspired, please visit AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com. Tune in to Get Inspired every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to be inspired by radio host Sue London and her guest to help you create the life you desire.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back, because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.